blessing to gather in the house of the Lord. Yes, we heard some amazing things already this morning. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for what you shared. As I listened to Brother Aaron here, I marveled that some of these things that he spoke about, I'm going to overlap a little bit. And I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll read two verses there, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Now the backdrop for this, the last several verses just before that, the preceding verses, Peter is blessing God for giving his son and showing us his abundant mercy. And he begot us to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus, and to an incorruptible inheritance that is not defiled, it will never pass away. And it's reserved in heaven for us. When he calls us away from here, when Jesus comes back again, and it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation to be revealed in the last time. And now our text here, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. In these things we greatly rejoice now when we think of these things. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we have a view of God that's not quite accurate. Sometimes God doesn't seem very big, depending what we're facing. And Brother Aaron shared here about the turmoil in the world and the things that can look kind of daunting to us when we see the world turning away from God. And yet God is as big as he ever was. And he'll walk us through these things if we're faithful to look to him and follow him. And like as Jesus suffered for us, so let us be willing to suffer today for doing the right things, things that are right and that are pleasing to the Lord. And after all, suffering, Brother Aaron said, we don't have any persecution here, and that's right. We don't suffer persecution for our faith. Now yet. Maybe someday we will. But there's ways that we suffer today. And you know, suffering is a disciplinary action in our part. We discipline ourselves to suffer. And like I think of Joseph in Egypt, when this woman came to him and wanted to commit fornication with him, and he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And he landed in jail for doing the right thing. But he was purified by that. And when I think of Jesus coming and he died, he suffered so that we can have what he had. And we rejoice in this. And sometimes we find ourselves in temptations. It says here, manifold temptations. That would, in simple words, it's saying in many temptations we find ourselves. And maybe we're tempted to think that I'm not a Christian because all these temptations come to me. But I want to just encourage us to keep on and not to be discouraged when things seem to be overwhelming, but to keep on looking to the one who actually prepared the way for us and open that inheritance for us through Jesus Christ. And the one who has suffered in the flesh has chosen to be the mind of Christ. If we turn a few pages over to chapter 4, verse 1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." So, arm ourselves. How do we arm ourselves with the same mind, or with the mind of Christ? How was Christ? How do we arm ourselves with the same mind? "For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." And I think of when we suffer in the flesh, or back up a little bit, as we arm ourselves with the same mind, in Philippians 2, it says there what the mind of Christ was. Verse 7, it says, "He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." So I think over my life, and I think of times when my own self, my own will and pride stands in the way of surrendering to Christ and to do his good will, to live according to his will. But Jesus was not like that. Jesus made himself of no reputation. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So that's one aspect I think of becoming, arming ourselves with the mind of Christ, with the same mind. He, when he faced the cross in the garden, it was almost overwhelming for him, it seems like. And yet he followed through. And God strengthened him. And God will strengthen us today as we stand for what's right, as we live according to his word. And I believe that what Peter's saying here in the last part of verse 1 in chapter 4, "For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." I think that's talking about you and I. As we choose to suffer in the flesh, it frees us from sin as we repent. We cannot stand for what's right and suffer in the flesh and be serving sin at the same time. There's a difference there. It's turning away from darkness to light. And we sang hymn number 135 this morning, and just touched my heart there, the last verse. I'd just like to read that verse to us here this morning as we meditate on this meditation. 135, verse 4 says, "Gladly we surrender earth's deceitful treasures, pride of life and sinful pleasures. Gladly, Lord, we offer thine to be forever, soul and life and each endeavor. Thou alone shalt be known, Lord of all our being, life's true way decreeing." I think as we choose to suffer, whether it's sinful desires, whether it's ridicule, mockery, there's ways that God has called us to suffer in order to make us more like him. And sometimes I think we get the view that God is a God that's trying to punish us. And God is not trying to punish us. He's drawing us to him. And if we can see that, have that glimpse, that God is drawing us to him. Jesus said it is the Father's good pleasure to give us his kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? It's his pleasure to give us his kingdom. And he doesn't desire to make us suffer. But the sin in here keeps us from being like him. Thank God that he has ways like this to purge us from that. And Brother Aaron read in Malachi there of the refiner purging the silver and the gold. And the first verse I read here this morning, in verse 6 and 7, it says there that our faith, that the trial of our faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. Where are our treasures? Does my heart yearn more for the things of this world, or for more money, or maybe in covetousness, in seeing something and wanting something that my brother has or our sister has? And yet it says here that the trial of our faith is more precious than those things. There's nothing of those things here that's as precious as the trial of our faith. And when I think of that, my flesh wants to recoil from that. The trial of the faith is actually more precious than any of those things that we hold in our hand, that we own, that we work with. And so as I think of God working in my life, in our lives, to purify us and to purge those sinful desires out of our hearts, or envy or jealousy or malice, wickedness, and the things that Paul talks about, they need to come out of there. But how is that going to happen if we don't let God purge us, if we don't let Him work in us? His chastisement doesn't always feel good, does it? But it brings a glory afterwards. So we definitely have the flesh to deal with, perhaps in a greater intensity than if we were persecuted. Sometimes I wonder. If we were persecuted, it'd be pretty black and white, it seems to me. It would either be you believe or you don't believe. You give up or you keep on. Now, in the freedom that we face here, that we have here, that we so much enjoy, there's so many distractions, so many things that are kind of on the line, kind of on the gray areas, and we have the liberty to choose. And sometimes those choices touch the flesh and makes it harder to choose the right way. For a closing here, I'd like to turn to Psalm 27. I'll read verses 8 through the end. Psalm 27:8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's a tremendous encouragement to me. David faced a lot of difficulties. He was hunted like a wild animal. And he faced enemies in his life. And yet, here he says to the Lord, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So in the midst of any difficulties that we have or trials of our faith, regardless how huge the mountain seems, let us seek the face of the Lord. He will be faithful. He is faithful to bring us through that. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Regardless of what we face, regardless what we need to do what is right, to please the Lord, let us not draw back. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. We don't face the enemies today that David did, but we face enemies. Sometimes the biggest ones right in here. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. back again to Joseph there in the prison in Egypt. After fleeing from that lustful woman, he landed in prison, lay in the dungeon for 2+ years, but he stayed faithful. He waited on the Lord. I think Joseph had the mind of Christ. And Christ hadn't been here yet. Today, Jesus has been here. He died for us. He rose again. He left us the example. Let us press on and pursue that example of Christ, His Spirit of suffering and sacrifice and being faithful to God. May the Lord bless you.